People who track your stimulus money say they're able to do a better job at it. The Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board says nearly everybody who's taken stimulus money is filing reports about how they're using it. The board had trouble early on getting a number of recipients to file. The reports are required by law, so the recovery board started shaming people into filing by calling them out on what the board calls a loser's list. Board Chairman Earl Devaney's my guest now to discuss how the board turned things around. And Chairman Devaney, I have to say, I love the idea of loser's list. Sometimes it's just a good idea to pin people's names to the wall, isn't it?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's been pretty effective, actually. You know, the law required people to report, but it didn't put any teeth in the law. There's no enforcement mechanism, so they can't be penalized. So what we're talking about is, agencies getting after them to report, and we also took our turn at trying to shame them into it.
The level of accountability is really just that. I mean, you're right. There's what you did still didn't add any penalty to it, but just the fact that somebody's name is hanging on a list like that, as you've demonstrated, is motivational enough in many cases.
I think it is. I think the one thing we've learned about transparency is that inevitably there's some embarrassment involved in it, and it turns out that recipients don't like to be embarrassed. We see that not only in the number of people that have actually gone ahead and reported like they should, but also people who go back sometimes months after and try to correct the record if they've made an honest mistake. They go back and try to change it within the system, and we commend them for that. And it's all about not being embarrassed. What we've learned is the closer you get to the recipient that actually got the money reporting it, the more accurate it tends to be.
You obviously still have some holdouts. Not everybody is shameful. Some people are shameless. What are you doing about those folks that still are not responding or still not complying with this?
Well, I mean, we'll continue to publish and the list, and the agencies continue to chase after them. I suspect the number will go down lower, but given the fact that there's 75,000 recipients, prime recipients of recovery funds, 366 doesn't seem too bad, actually. It's less than 0.5%.
That was going to be my next question, is your rate of compliance. Is there a benchmark that it has applied in other areas or something that you can compare your results to?
No, but if I had guessed 2.5 years ago that it would be 99.6%, I would have been pretty happy.
And I'm glad you used that number, because I think when we talk about any number of different areas in government, I think we lose sight of the compared to what factor,
right?
Which it's easy to fixate on the 0.5% that aren't complying, and the 99.5 number is equally accurate and I think much more eye-opening.
I think it's not eye-opening, but it's inspiring that so many people actually, obeyed the law, took the money, and willingly reported in on what they did with that money. It enhanced, of course, the ability for the American public to see where it went.
What's a lesson learned here, or maybe a couple of them, for agencies that are chasing people and trying to get them to comply with any number of different reporting requirements?
Well, I don't know if we're the first board to try to have a shame list, but I think it's been effective for us. I would say that once again, less than 0.5% is pretty darn good, and I think that it's way below normal. So I think the transparency piece here drove accountability. It's clear to us that to the extent that there's willful compliance and that there's a low level of fraud, I think it had a lot to do, if not all, to do with transparency.
Did you get any pushback on this, either from anybody, people who were on the list that maybe thought they shouldn't have been, or from agencies who said, well, maybe you don't want to go that hard on people, or anything like that?
Well, I can't say that it didn't come up, but we are, after all, a board of IGs, so people kind of expect it from us.
And that's very true. As this moves forward, what remains here for you to do when it comes to this, to these reporting issues and making sure that this money is accounted for?
Well, we still got a little bit of money left to go out, and we want to make sure that we maintain the same low level of non-reporting, and there's a lot to be done in the accountability area. There are some investigations going on. Fraud is remarkably low, but that's not to say that there aren't some cases under investigation that can turn into real fraud. So we want to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball on the fraud, waste, and abuse message. But right now, I'm trying to think about ways at the Vice President's request to take the lessons learned in recovery and think about how we might embed them in government operations going forward.
Have any thoughts about that? I know it's pretty early on in that part of the process, but any thoughts about what that might look like at some point?
Well, I think we've built a couple systems that have a remarkable capacity to expand, and I think that the timing may be such that, you know, the government has a remarkable number of both collection sites and websites, and it may be time to think about, do we really need all of those, and could we have one centralized collection and reporting site? And so we're talking about that. We're trying to conceptualize it, and at some point I'll talk to the Vice President about maybe thinking about how we can embed some of these things in government.
And I hope after you talk to him, you'll be back to talk to us.
Be glad to.
Earl Devaney, Chairman of the Recovery and Accountability and Transparency Board, thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks.